sooner or later, Matt Carney. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Let's get to some Packers because they do play the Browns. And Tausch, I feel like, you know, I never liked the phrase trap game. I never liked the phrase, oh, they're like a wounded animal. But this feels like a game where I feel at least Packers fans, I don't think that the players are being this way, but it's hard to get up for the Browns, given where they're at, given where the Packers are at. Is there peril in a game like this?
Yes. The good news is you have not been on the road yet, and it's early in the season. This, I'd be more nervous if this was a early November, an early November game where you're humming along and the Browns stink, and you kind of can go into it and think, you know, the old roll your helmet out and think you can win. Cleveland's not very good. We all know that. They don't know what they're doing on offense, but they have a game wrecker. And if Zach Tom, you know, he's feeling better by what Matt LaFleur said, you want to have your guys be out there because he is Micah Parsons 2.0. Like, he's a little bit older, but Myles Garrett's a dog, and he can wreck games. And I think the only way Cleveland will be able to generate anything is if they create turnovers and get short fields. They are not going to line up and move the football consistently against this defense. That is not going to happen. They could maybe put a drive together here and there, but on a consistent basis, it'll be a real struggle for them to move the football. So it's on Matt LaFleur and Steno and everybody else to kind of put a game plan together where you're going to be aggressive, but you're going to have to be selectively aggressive. This is not one of those games that you need to, you know, go and try and show off how great your offense is. Because you find your formula of how you're winning and how you need to win. And I think especially when their best weapon is on defense, you have to play to that. And I think that's what Matt will do. So, no, I am not worried about any letdown. You know, they've had rest. It's just too early to be getting all, you know, fat and happy. It's you're going to have guys, and I think the game you worry about maybe even a little bit more would be Dallas, but the fact that Mike is going back and all of that emotion wipes that out. So these next 2 weeks should be their road games in the NFL, and I always will say it's you never take those for granted because crazy stuff happens, but you're just a markedly better team than both. And really, when it comes to Cleveland, I don't know how they can hurt you on a consistent basis with what weapons they have.
So the conversation that we had yesterday with Anthony Belton was about, and he apparently became buddies with Josh Connerly, who was the left tackle out of Oregon, who was Washington's first-round pick, and he played right tackle in the game. And Jeff Hafley said, ooh, a rookie. You know what we're going to do? We're going to target him. And he ended up giving, I think, up seven pressures. Two of the sacks that the Packers had came up against him. And, you know, Anthony Belton was aware of that and expects the Browns to do the same thing with him if he ends up starting and if Zach Tom is not ready to go. So if you're putting together a game plan, how do you make sure that, I mean, I assume that Tucker Kraft on every single route he runs is going to chip Myles Garrett before he goes out, and he's going to be lined up on the right side of the line a lot. But how do you prevent him from wrecking the game if you're playing a rookie second-round pick at right tackle because Zach Tom's not quite ready to go?
Yeah, if you're going to do any five-step long play actions, you make sure you have some other body presence over there, whether it's a running back, if it's a chip, if it's a tight end thump. You just want to throw Myles Garrett off his game. And with that, then you leave. You know, I would bet that you're going to see something very similar to when we would play Julius Peppers when he was in Chicago. You would basically, normally you call like a two jet. Two jet means you're going to slide everything to the left. And then, so the right tackle's kind of on an island. You're going to, when Julius Peppers, you didn't even call it. You just say Jet Pep. All right, there's Pep. We slide there. That's literally what we did.
Yeah.
And then you'd figure the rest of it out from there. That's why when I kept saying, you know, you want to have that bullseye guy, because if you say Jet Pep, and they're going to say Jet Micah, whatever their call would be.
Right.
All of a sudden, Rashawn Gary, here you go, baby. This is what we got. You're going to be lined up, and you're going to go to work on whoever they have playing left tackle. And that's kind of how this thing goes. And I would think with this, it'll be a thump. You're going to have a series of thumps and chips and bump and nudges. There's different words, different phraseologies, but you're going to guess that 95 is not going to see one-on-one blocking with Belton very rarely, if any.
All right, we talked to Matt LaFleur yesterday. We also had locker room. I had a few questions for LaFleur, including about deep throws. And he had said after the game, and I heard your voice in my head when he was talking about this. He said after the game, oh, well, the good thing about this is I have a lot of ammo for when they come back on Monday. And you always talk about how you can do your best coaching and be hard on guys after wins. You're not worried about their confidence. If you get your butt whipped, and then on top of it, you have your coaches chewing you out constantly, that can be counterproductive. So he was looking forward to Monday's practice, and he did. He got after him about the penalties, and the special teams has not been very good through two games. Unproductive in the return game, gave up a big return, penalties. Don't know what Matthew Golden was doing on that one punt where he ended up being thrown back into the end zone. It has not been great, but that's a good thing because you're still 2-0 and maybe you prevent them from getting a little too big for their britches. So Matt LaFleur, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur on that and on the deep throws that Jordan had to Matthew Golden. But first, we need to hear from Tausch about Kohler Services and his new friend from Oostburg, which, what an irony that is.
What a cat from Oostburg. You know what? If you are looking for a refreshing new offer on a bath or shower remodel, Kohler Services is the group for you. This month only, you get $1,000 off your Luxstone shower remodel, and you get zero interest financing for up to 12 months. My new friend, Chris from Oostburg, he is one of their many skilled installers. They'll demo your existing bath or shower. They'll remove it. I lived it. We saw it. I actually was ripping shower tiles out, and then we dispose it before you install that brand new dream shower. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
We'll continue our Packers conversation next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to find. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will love.
Before we get to Matt LaFleur, I know Tausch saw something about this on Twitter as well. We talked to Christian Watson yesterday. Now, Tausch, you again, unfortunately, you and Brian both, Brian Bulaga, who joins us on Wednesdays, have twice as much experience with ACLs than anyone should have because you had them twice. I guess that math doesn't count because 2 times 0, which is what you want to have, would be still zero. But you've had two ACLs and tears, and so has Brian.
Yep.
And Christian Watson's only had one. He had another knee issue in college, but it was not an ACL, he explained to me. But he believes that if the NFC Championship game were tomorrow, he could play in it.
Yeah.
Now, he is on the physically unable to perform list. He has to stay there for 4 games, which means the Browns game and the Cowboys game, and then there's the bye week, and then they can open up his practice window when they return from the bye. And look, some guys, they open the practice window, and a week later, they're on the field. He, yep. I don't know if that's going to be the case with him or not. He told us the only
When is Halloween, Jesse?
It's October 31st.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That was Tausch's prediction, for those of you who are wondering why he brought up Halloween as much as he loves candy.
I just looked it up. It is October 31st.
Thank you for confirming. Hey, got to trust but verify. The Packers games after the bye. Home against Cincinnati on October 12th. At Arizona on October 19th. At Pittsburgh on October 26th. At home against the Carolina Panthers on November 2nd, which would be 2 days after Halloween.
Yeah.
What's realistic to expect if he's saying that, Tom?
So he had surgery, what, late January?
Yeah,
probably.
January 20-something-ish. Yep.
Okay, so February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. That's 8 months. The Packers are always going to be a little bit on the high side of caution when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. All we heard all offseason was that Christian Watson is way ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's his contract year. Well, I think wisely on both sides, I think they came to a very fair deal. And Christian Watson doesn't feel that maybe that pressure, and I think he could maybe take a beat and really rehab and not have to worry about all of the other things that go into, playing and finding a team and all of that other stuff. He's in a great spot. I believe he'll be back sooner rather than later. I thought that before. And I just think he brings something different to this offense. And if it's just bringing him in for 5 or 10 plays to start and kind of get his legs underneath him, I think that is a great starting point. And then you let this receiving group, which is still, I don't know what is really, other than that Romeo Dobbs has been very effective, what have we learned so far? Jaden Reed has been hurt. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. Wicks has made a couple of plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Matthew Golden, I think we all love his, I think he is going to continue to get more and more comfortable and get more timing with his quarterback. That, by the way, there's some folks when I was on with Vinny and Eric this morning, were asking, has he been disappointing so far? I'm like, no, just one play that doesn't. Well,
I just talked to him yesterday about this,
yeah.
And look, he has been great with us, but and I framed it in a way because I did not want to make it sound like I thought that was a valid view. But if Jordan Love's throws are where he wants them to be, and I think Jordan would say this, he underthrew the one that would have been a, 30-something yard touchdown, right? And he overthrew the one that would have been a 92 yard touchdown. The difference, and I understand ifs and buts, candy and nuts, et cetera, game of inches, all that other stuff. But if those two throws are on the mark, we're talking about how star-spangled awesome Matthew Golden has been. Oh, my God, did you see the two touchdowns he had in the game on Thursday night? He had a 92-yarder and a 30-some yarder. He only had two catches, but it was for 130 yards. He was awesome. So I don't see him as a disappointment at all, but they're not the first people that I've heard that from.
Sure. I think big picture, you want to see things right away. And, the thing that people are forgetting is he's a rookie. Not that they're forgetting that, but Jordan Love missed a big chunk of camp. And when you're out there and you're seeing flashes of color show up and you had to get rid of the ball, are you going to trust someone like Romeo, who you've worked with and been through this with a bunch, or Wicks or Kraft? Or are you going to just assume that your guy is going to be where he needs to be? And Matthew Golden, I don't know if he's been where he needs to be all
right.
the time.
Fair.
But there's a process. You heard Rodgers say all the time about earning trust. Jordan Love's going to be the same thing. Now, the throw that he missed to Matthew, yeah, that makes a huge difference in all of a sudden, conversations. But Matthew Golden's going to be a really good football player for this team. And I think you're going to see it continue to evolve week in and week out. He's ready to pop. And once he does, oh, baby. I think it's going. You're going to see more and more of it. But right now, that process is going, and I think that's where I think Christian Watson is going to come in, you know, if it's mid to late October, and really start on a slow number rep count and then build. And if you can add him to what you already love about what Tucker is doing, you like where Dobbs is. This offense, that's why I think everybody is looking at saying this offense is only going to get better and better.
Yeah, you get them in there.
If you changed your tune on Watson, you had him out till December, January.
I did not have him out until December or January.
You did.
I said November.
Check
the
tape.
I did.
All right, let's not mince over that. Are you changed your tune that it's going to be earlier than what you anticipated?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I believe it is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
But I'm also familiar with the concept of a player having a desire to play sooner than the medical staff is willing to. And let's not forget, part of the reason for getting this deal done when they got it done was so he wouldn't push the envelope. Because the Packers want him healthy for the stretch run, and they want him healthy for 2026 when they believe, by signing him to this deal, they're going to get him at a bargain price next year.
For sure.
This was not just because, oh, poor Christian. We don't want him to rush, so we're going to give him some extra money now. That's not what they did. So I still think that there's a chance that they hold him back against his will, and maybe they bring him back against the Steelers, which would be right before Halloween. Or maybe they wait until that Carolina game because it's at home. Now, he got injured at home, so I don't know how much safer it makes it. But a lot of times they like to bring guys back at home games instead of on the road. When they hold guys out of preseason games, it's a lot of times on the road. I don't know why that is. So we'll see. But the whole idea is while he's saying that he could be playing if it was the NFC Championship game tomorrow, the whole idea is so he doesn't play tomorrow. That's why they signed him to this contract. So we will talk more about him as the weeks go on and we get closer and closer to his return. We need to get to more Packers for you. But first, Tausch needs to tell us, God, these commercials are everywhere now with Prize Picks. I'm waiting for you to get a TV commercial. You and Marshawn
I'm an
Lynch.
Guy.
Can we do that?
I'm an audio guy, as you know, and, you know, we make decisions every day. And on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. And Prize Picks is simple to play. Pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. Get it right, cash in. Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals, they're fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into your account this football season. They also offer injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half, doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. You know what? Yeah, everybody has sports opinions. I think that it's a two-team race. I think, J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings are going to struggle a little bit. You know what? Turn your sports opinions into real cash. Join millions of users. Sign up today. Download the app. Use that code WI. Get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
More Packers ahead. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Dancing on the edge, about to take it too far.
Getting ready for the Cleveland Browns, 2-0 versus 0-2 in Cleveland on Sunday. So we've talked about Christian Watson and his timeline. We've talked about Anthony Belton. I want to get to what Matt LaFleur said, because he went through a pretty long list of things that he doesn't love about where his team is at, and he was getting after them for. But I also find myself thinking...
How much do you think, hey, Jason, before you get into what he doesn't love, how much does he love this team?
Right, he loves it a lot, and that's what I was going to say, is that he's kind of looking for reasons to stay on them. Because he does still, young but experienced, is how I describe this team. And I'm guessing that he wants to make sure nobody's getting complacent or too big for their britches. So I think he's probably harping on a lot of things. And he does have a game this week. And you pointed it out, it's their first road trip. So you're focused on that and you're making sure that you're not taking it lightly. But at the same time, you know, younger players don't, it's the old Mike McCarthyism. Our biggest challenge will be handling success. And they've had a ton of success through the first 2 weeks. So I think it's good that he's staying on them. But here is how he viewed where his team is at when I asked him about the areas where they need to improve because of his comment about the ammo that he would have when they returned on Monday.
Now, you said after the game that despite how well you played, you'd have plenty of ammo for the guys when they came back. What did you see when you watch those five times to, I would say, get after them about, but talk about?
Yeah, I would say that there was. We went into the game, we knew that the penalties were going to be a big part of the game, and we had far too many. So, obviously, the first drive, it negated a touchdown. And then we had a couple. We talked about pre-snap penalties. You don't want any of those. We had a couple pre-snap penalties. We had a couple penalties on special teams that really played a big impact on field position. And then I think just really in every phase, there was a lot to like, but there's a lot to work on. I thought offensively, just the level of detail needs to be better in regards to making sure that you are maximizing every opportunity that you get. And there's just, it can be one guy on every play and it could mess up the whole drive. So defensively, I thought for, you know, three quarters, we played really solid football, but you got to, when we have the ops, you want to close out the game the right way. And then on special teams, I think we could all agree that there's a lot more to improve upon really in every phase of Weefence. So those guys, we went through it today, and you know, we'll look to improve upon those, because I thought for the score to be 17-10 in the fourth quarter, I mean, it's a one possession game, and I felt like for the most part we were in control of that game. Now what was good about it was when they closed it to 17-10, all three phases did what we needed to do in regards to the offense going down and scoring, the defense getting the turnover on downs. Then we got stopped, but McManus came in and made a big field goal. So there were some positives as well.
So, Tausch, I love it when he's expansive in his answers, because it's not often that he does that, but that's obviously a long answer. But as I listen to it, he's right about the penalties. They had 10 for 77. The one on Belton wiped out the touchdown catch, which was ridiculous, but it also cost them Jaden Reed for the next couple of months with the broken collarbone. But what I thought was interesting, and he helped me with this, the other guys get paid too. That was not they were not playing the Ashwaubenon Jaguars, and so they do make it tough sometimes for you to sustain your productivity on offense. And the fact that it was 17-10, he's right. I agree. It felt like they were in control of the game, but it was still a one-score game. How do you balance, hey, we're going to have empty possessions, the other guys get paid too, with being demanding? Because he clearly wanted more than what he got from them in that game. And again, the two missed deep balls, you're suddenly, it's a 40-point output, and you're looking at it totally differently.
Yeah, it's. I think the old coaching adage is you chase perfection, realizing you'll never get it. But that's what you're always chasing, and that's how you improve. And you know, they also can look at this in a positive way. And he did he did flip that when he started talking about making a stop when you had to. And then, you know, I thought the key drive was when they did cut it to 17-10 and they marched down the field and kind of put the game away. Those are the things that you're always looking for, is how do you respond? Because there's never going to be a football season where you just are so much better in every week and every quarter. You're going to have times when things aren't going your way, and the great teams that win championships and are in the mix find ways to overcome those moments. So I you could look at it and say, well, yes, you dominated the game and you should have won by more. No question. I think we all agree with that. But how they responded to what they were doing in moments where they maybe did have a lull, you want to get rid of lulls. It is tough to do that. It's a process, too. Every team starts kind of figuring out, this is our formula to win. And every game is a little bit different, but the baseline for it is going to be the same. And I think that's where this team is trying to – I think it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for Matt in the fact that he's going to always going to be put the pedal down, you know, no blinking brakes, all gas, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't necessarily think that's the formula this season. I don't think going into Cleveland is going to be an all gas, no blinking brakes. I think this is one of those games, drive the speed limit. You don't need to get to Cuyahoga County in record time. Drive the speed limit. There's going to be games where you just do what you need to do and you win and you get home. This is one of those games. You don't need to do anything reckless or outside of your care or putting on a cape. This is a phone booth speed limit game. Go about your business, do it, and get home. That's how I would look at this game.
Yeah, I love it, and I totally agree with you. But you're right. What's the Lombardiism? Chase perfection, and with it, catch greatness, or something to that effect.
That's something like that. Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, I understand he has to get after his guys, and you don't want, the last thing you want is for them to be, as you like to say, fat and happy. So that makes sense. But again, I'm very curious to see how this will move forward and what they do with some games that they should win. And they've got the bye week. And now with Cincinnati losing Joe Burrow for the next 3 months, that game looks a lot different to me when they come back from the bye. So it's going to be interesting for sure. We will see where the power rankings land and where that puts the Packers with our Power Rankings Tuesday, which I know Jesse was very concerned we might miss out on because we tend to skip over it. But with where the Packers are, we got to get to it. And we'll get to it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. It's a beautiful.
It is Power Rankings Tuesday. My question for you, Tausch, spoiler alert.
Yes, sir.
Is the Packers are not number one.
Nope.
Should they be?
Nope.
I got news for you. They ain't number one either. Let's get to the power rankings. Jesse!
So I actually had an interesting way I wanted to do this week.
Did I ruin it already?
Okay. Not really, no.
Okay, good. You didn't tell me.
Because after the Barry Alvarez show last night at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Derek Engler asked me how I would rank the top four teams in the National Football League. And it was interesting because he asked me that, and we talked about it for a bit while we were sitting having a beverage at the Horseshoe Bar. And then I got home and I saw Brian Bulaga had weighed in on the four teams that he had asked me about on the Homer Hour on ESPN Milwaukee. And then I looked at the power rankings this morning, and those were the four teams that were listed at the top. So the way I want to do the power rankings this week is just asking you guys the same question that all of those guys had talked about. How do you rank these four teams? Because 5 through 32 doesn't, you know, not saying it doesn't really matter, but I think there's
kind of what you're saying.
I think there's clearly a tier one of NFL teams through 2 weeks of this season.
And then you don't invite them over to your football watching party.
It's not a school night. So here, I want to play this for you. This is what Brian Bulaga said on the Homer Hour yesterday.
The teams that I consider to be a threat overall to Green Bay are Baltimore, Buffalo, and Philly. Like, that's what it looks like right now. Because I think Philly, like, Philly's a grinder-out team. Like, that's what they are. They will, they just grind games out. Like, and that's what they've done these first 2 weeks. Will they find their stride and start to blow teams out? We'll see, right? I don't know yet. But they've shown that they can do that, right? They've shown they have the track record. But everyone else, I just haven't seen it yet, right? Like, I just haven't seen any teams that can put it together on both sides of the ball that Green Bay would be like, this is an issue.
That's Brian Bulaga yesterday on the Homer Hour. We'll hear from him more tomorrow at 9:30.
Being interrupted by Homer while he's still talking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Tausch, how do you rank those four? Baltimore, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Green Bay, the tier ones of the NFL after 2 weeks.
Philadelphia, Green Bay, Buffalo, Baltimore. That's how I rank it.
Is that an anti-AFC bias I hear?
No, I mean, I think you're going to – I respect Vic Fangio. I think that Philadelphia's defense can give Green Bay's offense problems. We saw that, even though I know they've lost a bunch of their D-line. They lost Darius Slay. They are still, I think, their interior guys and – if I'm being honest, that's where any injury, I think, can really upset this apple cart is in that interior of the O-line. The way you're going to beat Green Bay is to put a lot of pressure on Jordan Love and force him into making some decisions he doesn't want to make. I do not worry about any of these offenses against Green Bay. Now, Saquon is a beast, and I don't know. I mean, what they did against Detroit's run game was very impressive. Do I think there's going to be some teams that can run the football against this team? I do. And the formula to beat Green Bay, I believe, will be interior pressure and run the football. Philadelphia offers both of those things. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson deserve to have, because what they can do outside of the pocket and running is always going to cause defenses trouble. But Jaden Daniels, while not in the same boat as those two, we didn't have any problem with him. We didn't. So that's why I ranked it the way I did. I think Philadelphia is built. They play on 9 yards, not 10, with that stupid tush push that's not getting banned and not getting called illegal. And that's... that is the formula, I think, to beat a defense that's as good as Green Bay's is. So I don't know who else I could put. Last night as I was watching a little Tampa, I thought when Tampa's healthy with their offensive tackles, Baker's pretty good, and they have skill guys that will test our secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I mean, if they're down both their offensive linemen and their centers playing left tackle, forget about it. You're going to get Baker killed. Like, if you played them last night, it's over. And outside of that, I know people will say the Rams. Let me see a little bit more. But if you're four, I'd agree that those would be the four teams that I'd put on my Mount Rushmore of NFL through 2 years.
I feel like it's almost unanimous that those are the top four after 2 weeks of football.
Is it crazy that none of us are putting the Chiefs in there, even though they're 0-2?
So did I see something that Notre Dame is ranked in the top 25, even though they're 0-2?
I don't know.
And they're not even a champion.
Yeah.
I think it's true. And so I understand Nutquack, although my sign only says Tausch was right or whatever it says. I don't have Nutquack on one of the other sides. Not that I'm complaining, because I know the brothers Tauscher are already mad at me, so I'm not complaining. But
Notre Dame is number 24 at 0-2.
There you go.
Yeah.
I understand that they are. They've won 3 Super Bowls. They've been to 5 Super Bowls. Whatever. But the Chiefs are 0-2. So I'm sorry. Right now, today, my idea of power rankings is not projecting what they are going to be at the end of the season. My idea of power rankings is this is what they are right now. And right now, I don't know how you don't see those four as unanimously the best four, whatever order you want to put them in.
Sure.
Personally, I want to go Bills, Eagles, Packers, Ravens.
And
that's how
I
would do
that. That is the order that ESPN's NFL Nation has.
Oh, there you go.
Bills, Eagles, Packers, Ravens.
So that's how I view it.
People want Buffalo. People really want Buffalo to be great because Josh Allen's a lovable guy and he's, you know, busting his nose and cracking it back in place. And Josh Allen's he's a blanking warrior. He is.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just be honest.
Sorry about that.
Buffalo's defense.
Back itch.
Buffalo's.
It's been bothering
Buffalo's
me the whole
defense.
Segment.
Buffalo's defense has a ways to go. They do.
Again,
how fun would it be? Buffalo Green Bay Super Bowl. That to me, the NFL would go bananas. Woo! That would be something.
That was Michelle Smallman's pick.
About 50,
it was. So I was just going to say that.
Ticket prices would be about $15,000 a ticket to get in.
It costs you less to get into Jones Dairy Farm, but you will leave just as happy as you would be if you left the Super Bowl with the Packers winning.
Jones Dairy Farm, what a great operation. Family owned and operated for 7 generations in Fort Atkinson, all the way back to 1889. And you know what? It's hip and cool now to be eating clean, right? Everybody's going to eat clean. Well, they're best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe, pork, chicken, and turkey, and made with fresh meat only. They're none of those fillers or the nitrates, MSG, or gluten. They also make that beautiful smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and when we were down there, we ate a lot of their great bacon. It is life-changing. It's dry-aged for up to 3 weeks, intense flavor, worth the wait, smoked with real cherry wood, hickory hardwood, never liquid smoke. Find all of Jones' products in grocery stores across Wisconsin and check out the website at jonesdairyfarm.com. We also have sat down with Philip, the head honcho out there. We've had a lot of discussions. You want to learn more about Jones Dairy and their rich history, check out the videos that we have up on our website.
Is that how he is referred to, the head honcho
what?
Out there?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess I have
that that guy who's the head honcho out there.
Mr. Honcho, yeah.
All right, I want to get to Barry Alvarez because he is the head honcho when it comes to Badgers football. What?
Nothing.
Oh, it was fun.
I ain't saying anything.
It's just
no, I'm not saying anything. No, I'm not going to say anything.
By the way, we don't have enough time to get into this, but I did watch or had on as I was writing last night after I got done. Very fun little thing we did with Jordan Love last night, by the way, with his cleats program. It was really neat to do that, and I'm working on my story for that today. But it was fun to watch him interact with the kids at Green Bay Southwest. But I digress. We don't have time to discuss this, but I did watch Tampa. I think they might be pretty good.
Nah, Houston blew that game.
And but as Tausch pointed out, they're missing some pieces, and they're still pretty good. I am intrigued by them, and I think they may be a sneaky problem for NFC teams. But we'll see. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour so we can hear from Barry Alvarez. We'll do that in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.